This is Ozarks at Large. It's not surprising that some interactions between police personnel and citizens develop into stressful situations. Almost all of the meetings involve somebody in danger, suspected of breaking the law, angry, or a combination of the three. This summer, many high-profile incidents across the country were more than stressful, of course. They were fatal. For her first report on legal issues that matter to all of us, Elise Holman, a law student at the University of Arkansas, examines what we are required to do and not required to do when involved in a situation with law enforcement.
Clashes between police officers and citizens increasingly have been in the news. The national discussion about excessive force and inappropriate policing has sparked a lot of debate about personal rights versus a police officer's authority. Commentators often say we should immediately comply with an officer's requests. But videos popping up on YouTube and Facebook show people who have been stopped by police arguing that they know their rights and they don't have to listen to the officer's demands. So what's the truth? What do you actually have to do if a police officer stops you? And is there a difference between what you have to do and what is best for you to do? I asked Steve Val, an attorney at Taylor Law Partners in Fayetteville, and Professor Tiffany Murphy, who teaches the Criminal Law Practice Clinic at the University of Arkansas School of Law, for answers. Professor Murphy explained what gives police officers the right to stop someone in the first place.
The standard for when any law enforcement can pull over a car is reasonable suspicion of a violation of law. So it's a very low standard. It's probably the lowest standard we have. So any kind of traffic violation or anything that they've seen is reasonable suspicion for them to stop you. So if you're taillight is out, if your something is wrong with your tags. In Arkansas, they can stop you if your license plate is not properly illuminated correctly. So pretty much they're going to have what they need to stop you.
So what if you've been stopped? Val explains whether you have to show your driver's license or get out of the car if the police tell you to.
There is a provision in those rules that talk about obeying the lawful commands of the police officer. You know, I don't suppose you have to do anything, but if you don't, you certainly were going to get arrested for either resisting arrest, obstructing governmental operations, or something like that. So my advice is yes.
But it's a different story when it comes to allowing police officers to search your vehicle.
Now, would that include if a police officer asked if they could search my car, would I have to allow them to do that?
Oh, absolutely not. Period. No. And don't ever do that under any circumstances. Certainly, you don't have to agree or consent to the search and shouldn't. It never ceases to amaze me that people do, and they give consent knowing that there's contraband of some sort in there. And I think it's just people get scared and think, well, if I cooperate, this will all go away or it'll go easy on me or something, but it's the only reason I can think of.
Is it ever a defense for people to say, well, I didn't know I could say no?
Is it a defense? No. And in the vehicle search context, the officer's not required to tell them they have the right to refuse.
But you should remember, if you refuse to consent to a search, police officers may be able to detain you for a little while longer.
They'll ask for consent. If you say no, they can detain you for a reasonable amount of time, and reasonable is questionable, and it's based on law, your state law. And they can, reasonably detain you while they try to get a warrant or have a dog brought out to sniff your car to see if there's any material in the car. So there is a reasonable amount of time, and I use air quotes to reasonable, that they can hold you there.
To ensure that the stop goes smoothly, Professor Murphy suggests some best practices for people to follow.
What I do is I keep my hands on the steering wheel. I don't start fidgeting in the car. I turn the radio off. That's the only thing I do. I turn the car off, and I put my hands on the steering wheel and keep them there till the officer approaches. Obviously, my window is down. Once the officer states, you know, this, you know, identifies himself and asks, do you know why I pulled you over? I don't answer that question because anything you say is an admission. I say, I don't know. How can I be, you know, how can I help you, sir? I'm always extremely polite with an officer. It just makes things go smoothly. The officer will ask for your identification and your insurance and registration. While my hands are still on the steering wheel, I explain to the officer, I carry a very large purse. So what I tell the officer is my wallet is in my purse. It's on the passenger seat of the car, as is my insurance and the same. My registration I keep in my glove compartment just to tell him what I will be doing. You know, and I will have to, you know, get that stuff out to give it to you. Usually once you start communicating that you're going to comply and they know what you're going to do, then it's fine.
Professor Murphy also says that you should be cautious when it comes to recording your interactions with police officers.
Every state is different and this law is in flux. There's definitely the bystander. If somebody else is around and records it, that's fine. If you have someone who's in the car with you, they can record. I know that a lot of people just leave their phones on and their apps where you can just leave the thing going. Those are all things I think you can do. Just understand the fact if you're like, I'm recording you, that might interfere with the officer trying to, you know, if you personally are trying to record while they're actually going through the process with you, that could be potentially resisting arrest. They could hit you with another charge.
When it comes to answering a police officer's questions, though, Professor Murphy suggests a more elusive approach.
I always take the course of action, less is more. If the officer comes to the car and asks, do you know what you were, why I stopped you? I don't really give an answer to that question. I just say, no, I don't. How can I help you? And just start there. They're going to potentially tell you and they're going to give you a citation. I don't give any admissions off the top. People usually try to explain their way out of things. You're not going to do that in this situation, and if anything, you're going to make it worse.
Ultimately, both Vowell and Professor Murphy emphasize that if you are arrested or cited for a misdemeanor or a felony, you absolutely should contact an attorney.
One of the things to be aware of is you are entitled to counsel if it's a misdemeanor. I often see when I get to court people pleading out straight away to things without understanding what this may do to their life. So these are things where you definitely need an attorney. Sometimes the clinic can help you, the public defender's office can help you, but you need assistance. You can't just plead straight out to these cases, even if you want it over with as soon as possible.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Elise Holman.
Elise Holman will provide more reports about legal issues through the autumn on upcoming editions of Ozarks at Large.